Well, hello, Plus Life. Hello. How's everybody doing? I missed you guys last weekend. Have I told you lately that I love you? Good. Would you turn to the person next to you and tell them that I love you? If you haven't said that to your wife in a week, this would be a good time to reconcile things. So, it's always good to tell each other that you love them, right? Good, good, good. I am so glad that we are here tonight together and part of God's family. And so, like we always do here, would we all stand together in the reading of God's word? That is something that we do here. If you're new here, we welcome you and we want to thank you for being here with us tonight. One of the things that we do here is we honor God's word in our life. And so when we stand together, we want to give that honor and reverence and respect to what God has to share with us tonight. So let us go to God's word, and this is what the word of the Lord says from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 to 14. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And I'm also going to read one more verse from Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 15, and this is what God's word says. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Father God, we thank you for this powerful word that you've given to us. This indeed is the word of the Lord that you are going to be speaking to us from tonight. I pray that, Lord Jesus, that every heart would receive, Lord God, your message and that a transformation would occur in our lives. We ask this in your mighty name, and God's people said, amen. You may be seated in the house of God. The message that I'm going to be speaking to you about tonight is very important. I have been praying and I've been asking the Lord during this time as we are preparing standalone messages. And as a word team, under the leadership of Pastor Ian here, we really take the time to really prepare the series and take the time to really think through as to what we need to feed ourselves from God's word so that we can spiritually grow. And growing spiritual is not just a religious thing. It's actually the most important thing. It is, and when I say the word religious, I know there's a bad connotation with that, but the scripture actually gives a good connotation for the word spiritual, for religious, and that is, it's to mean a sincere devotion. But of course, throughout history, the word religion in itself has become so works-oriented, so man-made, and it's lost its meaning. And so thank God for the word spiritual. But as you know, we've been in the last 4 weeks, we've been doing some standalone messages. And how many of you have been enjoying it? Can I see a show of hands? Praise God. And that's good because the Lord has been definitely speaking to each and every one of us. And I know last weekend I missed our brother Benji's sermon on don't be anxious. And it's funny because I should have listened to the sermon because I went through a lot of anxiety this week, you know. So that was a sort of a disciplinary thing from God to me, you know. He's like, don't miss one of those weekends. But at the same time, I also thank the Lord that wherever he took me on last weekend, that the Lord powerfully moved there as well. But every weekend, we have been seeing God move, and God is always communicating to us from his heart. Sometimes the Lord likes to teach us things, and sometimes the Lord likes to have a dinner table kind of conversation. If you are a parent, I'm sure that that's when you bring up some of the most important topics to your kids, because that's when you want to convey certain things. And so these past 4 weeks, we've been all enjoying the meals that we've been getting around the Father's table. And so tonight, I do believe that the message that the Lord wants to tell us from the head chair of the table is he wants to talk to us about being children of light. Children of light. And that's my sermon title for tonight. So if you want to write that down, you can. And that's called Children of Light. I think all of us know, I know in the last series when we went through the I Am 7 series, we went through the different I Am statements of Jesus. We went to this through the statement of, I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine. But one of the statements that we looked at was Jesus' statement of saying that I am the light of the world. And what's significant about this statement is that this is the only statement that Jesus also conveys it even more directly to those of his listeners, saying that you are the light of the world as well. So we can't take this statement so lightly. We can't take this statement so simply. There's a lot more weight to it. And Paul the Apostle in the New Testament, when he writes it in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 to 14, he is being a lot more precise about this theme of you, children of God, walking in the light. And not only him, but all the other apostles as well. John the Elder, in his letters to the churches in towards Revelation, we see those, you know, those three little short John letters. In those letters itself, John also illuminates this theme or this idea that you are the light of the world. And so, like we know about light, and if you look at the back or look here, what light does, it exposes things. It brings into attention things that we need to see and check for ourselves. And not only that, that when we live as light in the world, things that are hidden in darkness pay attention or focus to the light. Has anyone seen those little moths, those little tiny bugs that sometimes when we leave the door open after 8 o'clock, like, you know, in the summer, they kind of just make their way in and they get attracted to the light. And they go and they get shocked by theirs, like, you know, and then they die, you know. Yeah, that's exactly what happens. But, you know, it's so graphic, I know. Lately, I've been studying about, you know, how Jesus teaches. And Jesus is a very graphic teacher. So I'm an amateur right now. So, I'm just still working on it. But anyway, what you notice is that light attracts things. And light brings clarity. Light brings a sense of hope. The word light is so important. I was looking at the sun today. Not like I don't look at the sun. I mean, we all look at the sun when we can. But if you look too long, your eyes are going to start hurting. But don't do that. But I was looking at the sun today, and I noticed how important it is to have the sun in our life. And thank God for the daylight savings that we have now, because the sun stays out longer. But it's so important to notice the power of light and what light does in our life. And so when Jesus, you know, when he says that I am the light of the world, he who follows me will not walk in darkness, that statement is saying that you are safe and you are very secure when following me. Everything that you know of me will be revealed and it will be true for you. And so when Jesus says that you are the light of the world, he is calling us to live in that truth and to live as people who would reveal the character, the personality of Jesus Christ in this world. And so in the New Testament, when Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 15, and he declares us as you are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden, what that's saying is that your life is on full display. You can't just live it like how you want. People observe. And not just people observe, creation observes. In fact, in Paul's letters, he writes and he says that creation is waiting for the sons of glory to be revealed. So our life as being part of the light of the world is not something that we can take lightly. And even in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 15, what we also see is that Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Sometimes I think that the interpretation is taken a little light in this passage. Is that we think that, okay, if I want to be a light to the world, I have to do a lot of good deeds. So that by my good deeds, I'm showing to some folks here and there that you can look at me and you can trust me. But I don't think that we can just take that verse and apply just that part. There's more to just being the light of the world. There's just more to just doing good works and good deeds, where to the point that people will look at us and say, oh, well, you know, he's doing that because of God. There's more to that. To do a genuine deed for God, it's not just some sort of behavioral discipline or modification. There has to be a real, genuine heart transformation, because the good deeds that we do are not just habits or things that we just practice. It's really a fruit of what's inside of our hearts. So the condition of your heart will produce the right deed. Sometimes we, you know, there's this idea that if you want to replace a bad habit, you replace it with a good habit. That's true. But the reason why that process takes so long, of why when the good habit will finally overtake the bad habit, is because the heart, the human heart, is not easily changing. It has a default setting, and that is it's wrapped in sin. And I've explained it before that sin in itself is this utter deep selfishness. If the sin, you know, part of us had like a trinity, it's in its simplicity would be all about me, myself, and I. And so we got to understand that doing good deeds, when Jesus talks about it, it's not just, okay, go, you know, wash somebody's car or just that. No, it matters. It counts if your heart is really in and for it. And it's hard to get our heart on the same page. Like, how many of you guys have been on a diet plan and actually followed through it completely in a year? Anybody? No. Because if you see a Krispy Kreme donut, you're going to succumb to that in seconds. The human heart is so weak. They're just like, oh my gosh, I can't handle this. I need to have one. You know what? It's crazy because we don't realize this, you know? Have you guys ever figured out Satan's wheel of temptation? This is how it works. You know, first he'll persuade you. The whole time he'll tell you, eat the donut, 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 eat the donut. And you keep, and you're listening, and you're like, okay, oh my God, I can't, man, no, no. And then you eat it, right? You feel the momentary pleasure. You're like, oh, so satisfying. And then he turns the whole program around, and he says, why'd you eat it? 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 Is my heart the only one who goes to this war? Come on, Christians, talk to me here. So what I'm telling you is, I know, I feel you, I've been there. But what God wants to address here when he calls us to be the children of light, to be light of the world, there's more to just doing good deeds. And we gotta do a little bit of surgery tonight. So what we're eating tonight might not feel like a Roots Chris steak. I've heard it's a good steak. I've never had it, but it's not going to feel like... how many of you guys like A&W here? A&W, any A&W fans? Okay, it's not going to be like A&W. Sorry to disappoint you. If you like Lazeez, same thing. It's not going to be like Lazeez either. It's going to be like broccoli. Just broccoli. Yeah, great. Thank you. It's going to be like peas because I really believe that, you know, it's not, you know, if you... Have you, you know, if you eat too many carbs, you're just going to grow sideways. If you eat, like, if you drink chocolate milk, you're going to grow upwards. But if you eat broccoli, God knows what happens. So, well, you know, all I know is it's healthy. All I know is it's healthy. So stay with me here. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Tell your neighbor I'm going somewhere. He's going somewhere. He's going somewhere. Good, good. So, in Ephesians, in that passage of chapter 5, what you're seeing is Paul, when he exhorts the church in Ephesus, he is addressing their heart. And he's instructing them as how are you going to live as children of light. And there are 3 points, and I want to flesh that out from this text, okay? And so the first thing is, in verse 8, he says, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. The first thing I want you to know is that you have been separated for God. You have been separated for God. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says this, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. One of the things that you and I need to understand is that when we are children of light, we are distinct in our identity, in our lifestyle, in our way of approach. We do not belong to those of the world. What that means is, it doesn't mean that we hate the people of the world. We still love the people of the world. We still understand that they, like us, are humans and they go through various human experiences, but we are a people of hope. We are a people who are set apart. We are not people who live like the world. We may look like the world. We may even dress like the world to a certain limit. But we do not belong to this world. We are set apart. We are separated for God. Ian and Faye are getting married, and praise God for the blessing of God on their life. But they have been in this relationship for a long time, and they have been engaged with each other. Faye knows for sure that she belongs to Ian. We'll deal with that sinful nature later. But she knows that she belongs to Ian. That means not just when she looks at the ring does she realize, oh, yeah, like I just remembered I belong to somebody. No. She puts that ring on because she knows, look, I am actually part of his life now. That means she can't just go walking around doing whatever she wants. She can't be, there are certain expectations in the relationship, I believe so. Amen. Thank you. I'm glad to hear that. You guys are on the right path. Good. She can't just freely do what she wants. Why? Because she is set apart for him. In the same way, if you bear the Christian title, you are set apart for Christ. You are separated for God. That means anything of this world cannot have you. Not even a handhold. And this is so important for us to remember because today's Western Christianity has become, I don't know what has become of it. It has not brought this real sense that Jesus is a very real person. Joel, can you come here for a second? Don't worry, I'm not. You're my older brother. I know, I understand. Okay? Do you see Joel? Does everybody see Joel? He's lately been growing his beard because he wants to be more like Jesus. Totally understand. If you look at him, he has what? 2 feet, 2 hands, glasses, nice beard. And I can shake his hand. I can put my hand around his shoulder. We can have a conversation, right? Yeah. So he speaks to me, I speak to him. Can I tell you something? This is the type of relationship Jesus wants with us. Jesus has to, the reason why I'm using him as a visual image is to help you understand that though God has sovereignly established an institutional faith, meaning coming to church, having order in a service, I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit, when he displays and talks about Jesus, he is talking about a real, living, resurrected person. So this person of Christ has to remember that they belong to Christ, who is a living person. Thank you. But what has happened today is everybody uses Jesus as a last minute resort. Like he is the great advisor. Or he is, you know, they come to him for some major decisions. Lord, who should I get married to? Lord, what job should I take? Lord, should I go to this school? Yada, 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 yada. So many important questions. Yet the fact is, if Jesus said, don't eat that donut, yet you eat it, how do you expect him to answer some of the things that you ask, like some of the big questions that you ask? How do you expect him to answer when you haven't been even faithful in the little ones? See, to be lights of the world, when Paul says that for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Here's what he's trying to say. Listen, there is a distinction between our Savior and the prince of this world. We cannot live our life in Christ if we are still mingling and associating ourselves with the things of this world. And the thing is, Jesus knows the struggle. Our Savior and our King knows the struggle with us, for us. That's why he prayed in the Gospel of John. He said, Father, I pray that you will not take them away from the world, but protect them, keep them. Jesus prayed in the Lord's Prayer, teaching his disciples. He said, protect them from the evil one. So it's not that God wants to take us out of the world to the point that we become such extremists and say, oh no, you're part of the world. No, no, no. We can't associate. No, 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 no. No, that's not what I mean. I'm not saying you can't be friends with people of the world. No, you have to, because we are lights in their darkness. That's what God has called us to do. But the way we keep that separation is the way you keep that healthy boundary is that you remember in your heart that Jesus has it, not the world. We are all waiting for the great King to return. But on that great day, are you sure that you will be wearing the wedding gown down the aisle to meet him? We cannot have an association with the world. And what I mean by the world is what I mean is that we can't have an association with its value system. What the world values is not the way God values. And our values are so important because the values that we have actually dictate some of the decisions that we actually make.
So when God calls us to live as light of the world, when God calls us to be children of the light, He is helping us remember that, listen, you were once dead in your sins, but now you are alive to God in Christ Jesus. That means you cannot go back to that kind of lifestyle. You have to live your lifestyle for me. How many of us actually on a daily basis, when you go to work, when you go to school, do you actually think about your life being for God? You know, it's such an encouraging thing to hear, like, oh, God never wastes a day of your life. That's very encouraging. That's true. He doesn't. But do you live like that? Do you and I actually think about that? Do we actually think like, oh my goodness, so today when I go through work or when I go through school or whatever it is, when I have this conversation with this person, do I remember that I am set apart for Jesus? That I'm waiting for my great King, for our great wedding day? Am I waiting for that? Am I thinking about that? Because that's the perspective of how Billy Graham, too, lived his life. You know, I know, like, the memorials are still going on. People are quoting him and posting him. But have you heard some of the statements that he made? His statements of looking forward to eternity. How many of us actually look forward to eternity? You know when Paul said, set your minds on the things above? You know that verse when he says, set your minds on the things above? Let me put it like an example, okay? Say some of you are looking for a new job, okay? And you have an interview next Friday, and it's a very crucial interview. Please tell me that the next entire week, you will be sitting and spending every minute you can to prepare for that interview. So that it will go what? Well, what did you do at that moment? You set your mind to it. Is our Christian life like that? Is our Christian life the type of life where we set our mind on the things of eternity? Is it focused upward? Is it focused on what God wants? Because while God has commissioned on this earth, remember, we are not a people for this world. We are people bound for glory. We are a people who are called by God to live with Him. And He is going to be our God. He will be the full light of our world. He will wipe the last tears in our eyes. And there will be no more crying. This is the hope of people of God. So in the heart, we realize that, okay, I'm separated from God. Whether you're a school teacher, whether you're an accountant, whether you're a lawyer, whether you're an IT person, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a custodian, a construction worker, doesn't matter what your career is. It's really understanding that Jesus loved you for your person and He picked you out. He selected you and me. And we know how messed up we are. We all have anxieties. We all have issues. Yet Jesus in His big heart of loving us, loved us completely. And He didn't have to have mercy on us. He didn't have to show grace towards us. But He did anyway. Not because we were special at all. But because He announced and He said that this is my beloved. And I will die for them and I will restore them unto me. This powerful God reminds us through this passage that we ought to live separated for God. Number two, so what is it? So when you live separated for God, what does that look like? So, okay, Josh, I understand. You said you got to live separated for God. Okay, in my heart, I know I belong to Jesus. But now how do I practically put that? And that's found in the next verse, verse 10. Look what it says. It says, actually, no, let's read from verse part of 8 into 10. And this is what the word of the Lord says. It says, walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Pay attention to that. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And then in verse 10, it says, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Ephesians 4:30 says this, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. My second point is this. When it comes to living as the light of the world, we have to be sensitive towards God. Not because God is a sensitive person. God's not insecure. And it's not like he has all these emotional wounds. No. He's perfectly whole and he is content with himself. He is happy. He grieves with those who are broken. He is a perfect being. But sensitivity towards God is the language that Paul uses here, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord, is to show the harmonious walk that you and I have with God. Do you and I walk in sensitivity towards God? It is so important to walk in sensitivity towards God. There's a reason why the Holy Spirit was given to us. He was given to us to guide us into all truth, to convict us of sin and of what? Righteousness. Not just sin, but righteousness. To tell us what is actually wrong and what is actually right. This Holy Spirit who is living inside of us, who is the same Holy Spirit that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead, who took the infinite God and incarnated him into the flesh. This Holy Spirit is living inside you and me. And Paul is saying that we ought to try and discern what is pleasing to the Lord. And he says in the same letter to the church in Ephesians, in Ephesus, he says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit, which has been sealed for you on the day of redemption. What is he trying to say? Walk in sensitivity with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit does not contradict God's word. Some of us try to go and explore like certain things, like, well, the Holy Spirit has one way and the Word of God is another way. No, they don't. They're on the same team. It's like, you know, it's like all the time, like there are unnecessary debates that we have. It's like me standing here and trying to get Darnell and Jonathan to fight against each other when they don't even want to fight with each other. It's like, oh yeah, punch him, man, punch him. They're like, yo, we're not against each other. We're together on this. Walking in sensitivity with the Holy Spirit. Here's a question that I want to ask you. In all the major decisions that you make, is the Holy Spirit involved in it? Does the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you? When an opportunity presents itself, do you just like all of a sudden it's like, oh, this must be from God. Zoom! Like you just go flashing right through it. Or do you actually wait in the presence of God and wait and say, God, if this is really from you, show me, direct me, guide me, lead me. Remember, we're dumb sheep. Bleh. We don't know how to govern our life. I mean, Pastor Ian like spoke a powerful sermon like a few weeks ago. I'm like, if we look down, like our entire vision goes down. And God in his good grace gave us the Holy Spirit to make Jesus real every day, to guide us and lead us in his ways. Why are we not depending on him? I know the reason why. Because we don't like it when the Holy Spirit changes our agendas. You know, they say, like, he's like, you know, in the triune Godhead, he's one of the crazy uncles. He's not the craziest uncle, okay? He's not even that. Don't even use that kind of description or thinking in your heart. He is the powerful, he's a third person of the Trinity that is powerful, that is co-equal. And his office in our life today is so important because Jesus himself said it. He said that it is good for me that I go so that I will send you the helper. Yet how many of us actually live in sensitivity to the Holy Spirit? And here's the thing. We only call on the Holy Spirit for the big stuff. It's like he's like, for guys, let's talk about it like the Yu-Gi-Oh card thing. It's like you have a best trap card and you wait to play it on the field so that, you know, the other opponent dies and you win the game. Like, that is not, that is how we, some of us, treat the Holy Spirit. We want Holy Spirit breakthrough right now. He can't even break through you in your diet plan. Get the Holy Spirit involved in some of the simple decisions. I'm not saying go to this cuckoo kind of place where it's like, Holy Spirit, should I brush my teeth? No, he's not. It's not like that. There's a fine line. The Holy Spirit will, at that point, probably tell you, use your common sense. Like, that's what he'll tell you. What do you think? Do you think that you, like, what kind of slang do you want? You know? At the same time, the Holy Spirit wants to get involved in the little things that you deal with. So when you're studying for an exam, do you have the Holy Spirit? Do you ask the Holy Spirit's help to help you understand the material that you're doing? Do you actually tell him, Holy Spirit, I really don't get this material, but you know all things. Can you help me understand this? The Holy Spirit is not just involved in just our spiritual life. He wants to be involved in every part of our life. When you're driving to work and you have to talk with a coworker that's been a little annoying, do you talk to the Holy Spirit to how to have that conversation? See, here's the point. If you want the Holy Spirit to help you in the big major decisions, you need to get him involved in all the decisions that you make. And here's the thing I love about the Holy Spirit. He knows the level of spiritual growth you're at. He knows that, okay, you at this point of your walk with me, you can't grasp all the verses. So what he'll do is he'll corner you and he'll set some time for you to go into the Bible. And when you're reading the narrative or reading the letters or reading the wisdom books or anything, all of a sudden, something from the scripture pops out. And then you start cooking on it. And that's the Holy Spirit helping you to meditate on his word. But you know what has happened in our Christian culture? We've described what the Holy Spirit should do and should not do, can do, cannot do. The more freedom you give to the Holy Spirit to work in your life, I promise you, you'll feel safer and more secure in the will of God. Some of us we have the disciplinary idea. I'm going to go through my YouVersion. I'm going to go through all the plans. I'm going to read through anything, everything. And we think we got all the material. No, you just got head knowledge, no heart transformation. The Holy Spirit is the person that changes people's hearts. He is the one who draws all people unto Jesus Christ. And we who have been drawn unto Jesus Christ, and even if you're here today and you're a seeker of the truth, you want to know the truth, the very fact that you're in this room right now is because the Holy Spirit is drawing you unto the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I would never seek the truth, even if we tried to do it on our own effort. In the sovereign plan of God, the Lord has allowed the Holy Spirit to draw all men unto him. Are we living in sensitivity to the Holy Spirit? I think of the past, there's so many stories in Scripture that talk about waiting upon God and waiting upon the direction of God. In the Old Testament, we see so much of it. When Saul, the king, was goofing up in his office, God the Father was grieved by his behavior and his lifestyle. And the Lord had chosen a king, and it was David. And Samuel went to the house of David. He went to Jesse's house. And all the good candidates are lined up. They're all tall. They're probably all muscular. They're all probably fit in the category of what would suit as a king. But God, at that moment, he instructs Samuel. And he says, well, that's not the person. That's not the person. That's not the person. Do not look at his physical appearance. But for God looks, for man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks towards the heart. Immediately, what happened? Samuel got a revelation by the Holy Spirit that this is how I ought to figure out what God's plan is for the nation of Israel. Imagine if Samuel was not sensitive to the Holy Spirit and he poured that oil onto the wrong person. And look at the way the Holy Spirit chooses. Look at how the triune Godhead chooses. Look at how our Lord Jesus picked out the disciples. He it's the weirdest bunch of people. Okay, let's get it even better. Look how we are all part of the family of God. All of us crazies in here are part of God's family. And the Holy Spirit decided to draw us. God the Father decided to draw us. Jesus Christ died for us. Look at the choosing of God. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Because what sometimes we see these great opportunities and we think, oh, well, this is probably what God wants. No, you don't know that. You have to wait on God. You have to be sensitive towards God. And when you and I are children of light, we will look towards the light of the world and he will light our world. All the doubts, all the questions, all the fears, all the anxieties that we have, he will bring his wisdom and guidance. Are we sensitive towards God? And finally, what it means to live as light of the world is that we ought to live in surrender to God. Surrender to God. Verse 11 to 14. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Why is Paul using this language of awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you? In the context of that passage, there were some people in the church of Ephesus who claimed to be people of the light, but they were still engaging in unfruitful works of darkness in secret. And so when he says the statement, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you, he's saying, wake up to the reality of Jesus Christ in your life. And really, that is what the salvation experience is. It's really, you know, coming from a state where you were dead in your sins, where you had no connection with God at all, that finally, when Jesus Christ becomes real inside of your heart, you wake up to the reality, oh my goodness, there is a God, and he wants to have a relationship with me. And you know that you cannot have that experience unless you and I wholly, from our whole heart, surrender to it. If you want to walk as children of light on a daily kind of schedule, we ought to live in surrender to God. We have to live in surrender to God. Do you only surrender one part of your life with God? Or do you surrender all the parts of your life with God? I know that this broccoli is not something that you want to chew on. It's hard. But the Lord needs to give this to us because it is for our goodness. There are long-lasting rewards for living in the light of God's truth in Jesus Christ. So many of us are exploring so many other kind of things, thinking that those things are really the truth of God. And it is very clear, no, there is no, you will never find the truth anywhere else except in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever connection you think you have with God, it cannot come any more clearer than that of in Jesus Christ. And you wouldn't have it any more clearer than that in Jesus Christ. No matter how much we say we have a connection with God through Muhammad or Buddha or whoever, the truth is, you don't, because Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say, I am one way. He didn't say, I am one truth. He didn't say, I am one life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if you want to have the full experience of a good God in your life, it cannot happen unless you come in full surrender to the truth. Living in the truth, living as children of light, means that, Lord, I am daily surrendering to you. Lord, today is your day in my life. What do you want me to do with it? See, all of the Old Testament is all about God reaching out to us. And he does it full blown through Jesus Christ as the changing of the game. If you don't receive any answer to prayer in this lifetime, but have received the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the greatest prayer that God has ever answered in your life. And I share this from God's heart because I have a deep concern for every one of your spiritual lives. I don't know what the future holds for you, but my heart's desire is this. I like to think of all of the love that we have at this stage at Plus Life is so deep. It is hard to say that we will ever maybe get it again. But I pray that the Lord will continue, that we will be so humble that the Lord will keep this love that we have with each other so strong that no matter where we are in the world, that say if I go before you, if it is the Lord's will, that say if I go before you into eternity, and if you were to come after me, I want you to remember it like an airport experience. Do you know what it's like to be in an airport when you're receiving someone you love? You're standing there and you're waiting for them. As soon as the gates come, you recognize that that person belongs to you. I want you to remember that when we go into eternity, that it's like that. That not only that my and your Lord Jesus Christ will stand there, but I will stand there too, waiting to receive you, if it is the Lord's will. That's why I'm praying and I'm pleading with your heart that live as children of the light. Don't go back into your foolish dark ways, because our Savior gave his life for you, so that he would use your life to bring about his truth, so that many more people would come in the same experience that you have come to. We cannot live our life foolishly. And did you know that our great Messiah, our great King, he lived in these principles when he was living as the light of the world. He lived his heart separated for God. He lived sensitive towards God. He lived in surrender to God. He knew that he belonged to the Father. He knew that he was the beloved Son of God. He cared more about what God thought than what all the Pharisees thought, than what all the Sadducees thought, and what all the Essenes thought, and what all the Zealots thought. He cared less about that. Whether they recognized him or not, that was not his pride. It was a grief in his heart. But his heart was that I will be sensitive towards my God. And at the same time, he lived in surrender to God. The Holy Son of God, who was perfect and blameless, at the Garden of Gethsemane, what happened to him? He didn't deserve to go on the cross. Yet he knew that this was the assignment that God gave, that God the Father had destined him to go through. And look at the pressure of our great Savior in that garden. The battles of their wills. He said, not my will, but your will be done. That's why he was the light of the world. And now when we call ourselves Christians, which by definition is saying that we are followers of Christ, we are to live this life. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 2, when I read that verse in verse 9, if you read that chapter, when Peter is exhorting to the church, He tells them that he says to them that you are all what? That we have a cornerstone. We have a living cornerstone who was rejected by men. And then he takes that same identity and he places it on the church, saying that, and you also are being built up as living stones. Yeah, what was the qualification for a living stone? That he was rejected by men. Let me tell you something. You are on the safe side if you have been rejected by this world. Even when you love them and yet they hate you and despise you, remember that our great Messiah said, our great King said, that they hated me first before they hate you. Never forget in your heart who you belong to. You belong to the King. And here, the leadership, especially from the Word team, the reason why we go through the Word of God like this deep and this in depth is for your eternal security. We want you to enjoy eternity with Christ. We want you to get connected with God. The reason why we tell, like, please read your Bible is not so that you get into the habit of reading your Bible, but because that you would hear Jesus Christ speak to you and use you as a light into the places that you go. Yet do you and I live in surrender to God? Philippians 2, 3 to 15. And I want to read this verse because this is what it means to live in surrender to God. And this passage that Paul writes, he tells us how our great Savior lived his life. And with that, I'm going to ask the worship team to get ready as we read this last verse. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to pray with you. This is a very real moment with you and God. In 1 John 1, verse 5 to 10, it says, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
We can never be a light to the world unless Christ is the light of our world. If you know that the Lord Jesus has spoken to you through this message, that He knows and He's reminding you that you are called to be lights in the world. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to just take one hand and place it on your heart, and I want to pray with you. Nobody looking here and there. Just, I want to pray with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that You see every person in here that have placed their hands on their heart. I pray that, Lord Jesus, that You would build them to be a light in this world, that You would help them to walk separated for You, that You would help them to walk sensitive towards You, that You would help them to walk in surrender to You. Father, I pray that, Lord, every distraction and every work of the enemy that pulls them away from Your heart, we rebuke it in Jesus' name. Let it have no authority, no power over their lives. They are precious loved ones of God. Thank You, Lord, for hearing our prayer. Be with us as we worship in Your presence. We pray this in Your mighty name. Amen.